Now, on to outstanding special visual effects in a supporting role.
Here are your nominees.
The special visual effects teams from Devs, Episode 8. The Handmaid's Tale, Household.
Jamie goes to...
Vikings, the best laid plans.
Thanks to the Academy and its members.
And
for this amazing
there's honor. A speech, but congratulations. A few weeks ago, we spoke with Leanne Harvey, who is with us right now, about the potential of her winning an Emmy Award. And one good thing in 2020, she actually won, her and her team. She joins us on the line right now. Leanne, good morning.
Good morning, Norton. How are you?
I'm doing great, and congratulations are definitely in order. That is amazing.
Thank you very, very much. I'm still beaming.
Well, when you look against the nominees that you were with, great shows like Handmaid's Tale, it is amazing and wonderful and such great news. You must be, I mean, you say you're beaming, but you must be so proud.
I am. It's a show that's close to my heart. It was one of those difficult shows that didn't feel difficult because of the people that surrounded me and supported me. Right from the crew on set in Ireland to everyone back in Toronto. And I've been a fan of the show before I started it. And so it had it even closer or even more meaningful to my heart. And I'm shaking. I'm still excited.
Now, there's a whole bunch of you on this team. Do each of you get an Emmy Award, or do you have to buy one, or how does it work?
You know what? I don't know exactly. I'm told that we get one. and frankly, if I have to buy it, I'm buying it. I don't care. I'll remortgage the condo in Toronto if I have to.
Well, they're probably not that expensive. We've had several major award winners on the show before. One famous guy from here is a Grammy winner, and he's an amazing drummer, and he's won a Grammy Award, and he didn't buy it. It was like $200, and I was yelling at him on the air. How could you not buy the Grammy?
I would buy it for him if it's... Yeah, it's one of those things. It's like, it's a material thing, but geez, it's going to look pretty on my shelf.
Well, listen, it's the pinnacle of awards for your craft, and that's why it's an important thing. In the same way, it's an Oscar or a Grammy Award. And the difference, and please take this the right way, because this is how I mean it, from you winning this Emmy Award, than an actor who's quite famous, is that the actor who's quite famous is clearly rich and probably lives in a big mansion and gets all sorts of admiration and attention. And it's the hardworking men and women in the technical fields and the creative fields who, you know, they're not noticed in the coffee shop, right? Nobody buys them a drink when they go to a bar. You're winning this for the work that you do. And I assume the people that are judging you for these awards work within your kind of realm as well.
Yeah. It's all voted on by Academy members. And the funny part is I couldn't even vote for myself if I wanted to. So I sat there and I was like, if I can vote, can I vote for myself? Is that politically incorrect? And it's like, but you can't even, if you're nominated, you can't even vote within that category. So they protect it that way. So the fact that it's come from my peers, our peers, and acknowledging our work, it means a lot. It really does.
Now, Leanne, do you know some of the other people that were in your category on the other shows?
I do. I've worked with a few of them, actually. Handmaid's Tale, as you probably know, is filmed and done in Toronto. And I worked with one of the supervisors in the other category for Jack Ryan. And so it's really kind of cool being a part of that group.
Well, it's got to be a small community, right? The people that work in your line. I mean, it's got to be one of those things where most people run into other people at some point.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's such a small family. Like it's, you work all over the world and you run into people and you're like, yeah, it's everybody knows everybody kind of thing. And it's like, and if I don't know them directly, I'll know them like, you know, maybe a couple of degrees of separation. It's really a nice community to be a part of, for sure.
Well, maybe for people who weren't listening, I can't imagine, but a few weeks ago when you were on, why don't you tell us about what exactly you do and what you did on the show Vikings to garner this international recognition?
Sure. My official title is Visual Effects On-Set Supervisor. So that's basically, in a nutshell, anything that needs to be added or taken away in post-production. So that's what visual effects are, in the most simplest of terms. The on-set aspect is basically I'm there in prep. I'm working with the directors and all the heads of departments to try and figure out the best methodology and how to shoot stuff. I work with very closely with my supervisor and producer and decide what is the best creative way to shoot things and the most economic way of shooting things. And then my main job is to execute those things while we're shooting. And when that's done, I package it up and I send it along to post-production, and that's when all the computer magic happens.
Wow. And I would assume that the way things look when you're shooting to the final image, especially in a show like Vikings, which shoots in Ireland but is supposed to take place in a very different location, it looks much different. So there is not only creativity that has to happen, like the actors have to be in the mindset of where they're really supposed to be and all that kind of stuff. It's like when you see actors shooting in front of green screens, right? And they're told that you're actually sitting in a, you know, a 1940s bomber, so enjoy it, right? And
yeah.
But they're really just sitting on a block of wood in front of a green screen. That's creativity, clearly, to be able to pull that out of themselves and make it feel real. But also the creativity that you and the rest of the crew has to think ahead of where you actually are. And you know, because it's not there. The computer stuff that we see at the end is not there yet. So you've got to kind of build it in your mind. And you all have to kind of be on the same wavelength for it to work.
Oh, yeah. I live in a world of make-believe. My imagination is constantly working. When I look at a monitor when we're shooting on the day, it's like nothing like anyone else sees, because I see the thousands of ships we have to add, and I see the mountain that everyone has to be looking at, or whatever the case may be, whatever the visual effect is that we're doing. And it's important that I translate that to, that I translate what we're seeing to the camera operators, to the director, to the actors, so that they are looking at the right direction, or they are reacting in a way that works. Nothing's worse when, you know, when they're looking in the wrong direction and we put the visual effects on the other side, or that's where it's supposed to be. Then we have to alter everything in post-production. So the more we get done correctly on set, the easier it is later on. But yeah, I absolutely love it, because it is constantly, I see things that aren't there.
In a way, are you an extra brain, a creative brain for the director? So the director is doing so many things and has an overall job to, you know, make this project, but the director may have and clearly has some creativity, but they can't do everything. Their brain would explode, right?
Yeah. Like, so it's kind of, I'm a shared brain between my supervisor and the director. So I know what my supervisor wants to get done, and I know the creative version of it that the director wants. And so I'm there to remind the director, bounce ideas off the director, and make sure that he's getting what he needs and what he wants, and making sure my supervisor gets what he needs and he wants. So that's, it's kind of, I'm kind of the, I don't know, the shared brain of
the
VFX
conduit.
On set.
You are the conduit.
I like that.
Yes.
VFX conduit.
Well, you know, it is so cool you know, we think of showbiz and making television and movies to be extremely glamorous. And the glamour comes, well, traditionally on nights like Sunday for the Emmys or the Academy Awards or for TIFF, which should be on right now, and things like that. But the reality is there's very little glamour when you're filming and making whatever you tend to do, whether it's in an actual studio building or whether you're on location. You know, I always thought, hey, it must be amazing to shoot Hawaii 5-0 in Hawaii, but a 16-hour day in the jungle can't be that much fun after you get used to being in Hawaii for a few weeks.
Yeah. No, the glamour is pretty much non-existent. It's not there on set. It's not saying it's not a cool job. I love my job, but you're in the mud, you're in the rain, you're in the cold, you're in the long hours, or you're working the long hours. And even the glamour of, when they announced the winners for the Emmys, it was an evening that maybe I should have been in LA and then been with the big glitz and glamour. Maybe that's when it would have seen that kind of side of it. But I was actually in a better place. I was at my mom and dad's in Belleville, and my brother and my niece and nephews and my sister-in-law all came over, and frankly, that was the most glamorous evening of my night and of my life, and it was absolutely perfect.
So you're sitting here in Belleville. You're from Belleville. You went to school here. I often think that we don't put on a pedestal enough the massive variety of talent that has kind of left the city. But I also think it's pretty cool when you come back to celebrate your achievements, and of course with your parents, they must be hugely proud.
Oh, they are. Yeah. And you'll love this. As soon as it kind of, I may have been screaming a bit and yelling and there might've been some phone calls, but when it all kind of died down a little bit, I think one of the first things my mom and dad asked is like, well, you have to call Lauren Brooker. And I said, I'll let him know.
Actually, I got a couple tweets or emails, I can't remember, before you sent me the email saying you won. And I was like so excited. And so I would have contacted you anyway, but awesome. You got to me first. Let's talk, you know, showbiz is a lot of it is ego driven, right? Maybe not so much in what you do. You have that professional ego, that great, everybody, doctors have it, lawyers have it. We all need to have a little bit of it. Have you been on set where some of the actors and actresses have shown, you know, what we sometimes think they might show, and that is a bad demeanor? I'm looking for some inside dirt. Baseball, some dirt. Yeah.
I've been really lucky. For example, on Vikings, that cast was superb, and it was like they were like top notch. But I've worked on shows where I think one of my favorite stories is when I worked on Blade 3, Wesley Snipes refused to come out of his trailer, and it was all about the taxes and stuff. And then look what happened later with him. So yeah. You do see that side. But, you know, probably the biggest diva I ever worked with was Miss Piggy. Like, she was, wow. Like, she was feisty on set. And so it's like you really had to work around her schedule. And when she was ready to come to set, you know, you don't push her around.
Well, no. Was Frank Oz doing Miss Piggy, actually?
No. But it was Steve Whitmire was doing Kermit. Yeah. And I got to meet Dave Gold, who's like, well, he's Gonzo. that was a dream job. I wasn't in visual effects that time. I was an assistant director. So I was basically brought back from my visual effects career. My assistant directors called me back and said, you've got to do this show. And I was like, I hung out with the Muppets all day. Like that was like, you know, that was a dream job.
Well, you know, as broadcasters, we sit here and when we, sometimes we'll go back and listen and watch and hear tapes of incredible voiceover guys and girls and things like that, and you're in awe. And when you watch people behind the scenes, you know, operate the Muppets, and there was just a documentary on Sesame Street or whatever, and you watch them do it, it really is an incredible art form to be a puppeteer and to voice while you're doing it, right? And then to hear the iconic voice as well coming out, it kind of blows your mind. It's like when you watch some of the Simpsons characters do their voices on a talk show and everybody freaks out because that's the voice.
Yeah. Well, it's really funny because working with the Muppets, so Steve Whitmore is Kermit's assistant, as I like to say. and you actually talk to Kermit. Like, you say, Kermit, they're ready for you on set. You don't look at Steve. You know, like, it's like, it was really a surreal thing. Like, they are their own life form on set. They're as real as it gets. No visual effects required for them.
Yeah, well, I think you got to stay in character, right? Or else it gets all weird. And, you know, and what I love about the Muppets, too, I know we're off topic, is that depending on the environment they're in, they can get a little sassy, like when Cookie Monster was on Saturday Night Live and things like that. They obviously have a very good sense of humor and they know the audience to play with, right?
Oh yeah. Some of the when they would yell cut, the puppeteers would just continue on and they'd go completely out of character but in character at the same time, and it was like, wow, like I've never heard Beaker say that before.
That's awesome. That is awesome. You know, when do you find that sometimes you're surprised, you know, back to the whole dirt and dish thing, that some of the more famous people that you've worked with, and you've worked with some really famous stars, tend to be actually more down to earth because they've been through it all and they're so professional that maybe you're surprised at how kind of open they are? Or is it one of those things where do not speak to Mr. Blank unless he speaks to you?
There are some Mr. Blanks. But for the most part, we're a crew and a cast that work together, and we're all there to do the same job. So I find that most are quite understanding. And I remember this one time I worked with Helen Mirren, and I had to get her out of the trailer. I said, so we're ready for you on set. And she's like, oh, they're ready right now? And I said, yeah, but take your time. If you need your time, that's fine. And she's like, well, no, if they're ready for me, I come. That's my job. And I'm like, yes, ma'am. Like, so, you know, they are very professional when they need to be. And that's been most of my experience has been like that, which I'm very lucky because I know the Mr. Blanks are out there. So I've been very lucky that way.
Well, we love her even more now.
Oh, she's incredible.
Yeah. No, that's a great story. And I think there is for people being late to the set and things like that, that's really looked down upon, right? Because you're slowing everybody up and you get a reputation quite quickly. I think from what I understand, I mean, you're in it. Tell us if it's true or not. But being professional in your business, that goes a long way. And people know right away who's professional and not.
Absolutely. And it starts with the top down. Like if the lead cast member is like number one on the call sheet, so if they show up late, well, that sets a precedent for everybody else. But if that person, that lead cast member is on set before she's called the set or she's there waiting for everybody else, that's like, whoa, we don't want her waiting for us. So it's like they raise the bar when they kind of go over and above what they need to do. And that's reflected in the crew and the cast, and it's respected. Mm-hmm. And it's truly a matter of lead by example.
Also,
and I do that with my department as well. It's like I kind of go over and above sometimes, and I expect that my crew will, you know, step up when they need to. And I think it's a mutual respect thing, and it works out really well.
Also, preparation, right? You have to be prepared. Actors need to know their lines, all those kind of things. And it's looked down if they don't.
Exactly it, Yeah.
Well,
if I showed up to set and not know what the visual effects were shooting that day, like that's pretty bad. So if an actor shows up and doesn't know their lines, it's the same kind of thing. So
Well,
we all have to know our lines.
Yeah, not on this show. let me ask you. So they announced the winner. What happened? Did you start to get some calls from some of your team members?
One of the first texts I got was from my producer, and he basically wrote, holy F. Because I think it's a really strange feeling because you're kind of psyching yourself out. Like, you're like, well, I'm not going to win, because there's nothing worse thinking you're going to win and then lose. So you kind of convince yourself that you're going to lose just because it's easier, you know? Mm-hmm. It's easier that way. And so I had my monkey posse, and my niece and nephews were constantly saying, you're going to win, you're going to win. And I'm like, man, are they going to be disappointed when I lose, you know? But yeah, no, my producer reached out, my supervisor reached out, lots of people on Facebook, like it was, you know, people I hadn't talked to in a long time. And that was really cool. It was just, it's a good feeling, that's for sure.
Where are you going to keep the Emmy?
Right next to my Canadian Screen Awards.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit in front.
Well, you know, there's some people who have multiple awards who keep them in the bathroom. So
I've heard that.
Yeah, well,
I don't think I want to do that.
I think that gives you some, you know, something to reach for anyways when you're sitting there,
well, actually,
I guess.
The way the statue's there, it could hold the toilet paper quite nicely, maybe. I don't know. I'll test it out and let you know what happens.
All right. Thank you very much. Leanne, we are so proud of you as a community. You know, the city of Belleville is like, wow, that's an Emmy winner. That's an amazing thing. Good for you. Congratulations. Keep up the great work and stay in touch. Let us know what you're doing. It's such a fascinating career. And especially during COVID, so many of us are watching the things that you have made. So,
thank you. I really do appreciate that. It's been really quite fun talking with you. So thank you.
All right, Leanne Harvey. She has won an Emmy Award for the show Vikings. Congratulations, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, Lauren. Cheers. Have a good day.
You too. We're going to take a break, 9:29. When we